I'm not digressing, but I just want to get back to what Kim was saying earlier about many Christians being under condemnation. Mm. Right. Jesus doesn't condemn, he convicts. Mm. And anybody that feels condemned, it's not of him. And if you hear anybody speaking something and you feel condemned, it's not from the Lord. Mm. And for years, well, for a long time, I felt very condemned as a believer. And actually, I believed the lies of Satan rather than the promises of Jesus. And I actually, it affected me physically, and I ended up with terrible sick headaches. And I said to Chris, I've got to go and see somebody, because he was too close to the situation to help me. Everything that went wrong with the family, it was my fault. Everything that went wrong in life, it was my fault.
That's what you felt, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I felt, I'm guilty. And so we went to a dear friend of ours, who's now with the Lord, sad to say, because there aren't many people with his ministry today. And the Lord told him what it was, that I was actually listening to the voice of the enemy and not listening to the promises of my Heavenly Father. And he prayed for me, and I repented of not believing his promises and believing what the enemy accused me of. And he saw Satan over me like a judge pronouncing the death sentence with a black cap on his head, saying, you're guilty, you're guilty, you're guilty. And I was prayed for, and from that day to this, I haven't had that sick headache. But I was told, you must believe what the Lord says. You must believe the word. Otherwise, you can slip back into that. So I'm just saying, for anybody out there who feels condemned, that's not the Lord. And when I first became a believer, my brother had become a believer before me, and I said to him, Jonathan, how should I live? Should I give up this, that, and the other? Because that's what lots of people tell you you shouldn't do. And he said, no, Lindy, because you have the Holy Spirit in you, you will know what you should give up. As you're walking through life, you'll be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Don't listen to people that are negative, and especially so many years ago when I became a believer, it was very, well, some churches were very strict, and I had a friend who went away from the Lord because her church was so hard on what you should and shouldn't do as a Christian. And so I say to anybody out there, just listen to what the Lord is saying to you. And Jesus says to each one of us, come, come to me. There are so many comes in the Bible, and it's so wonderful. He's just our Heavenly Father, as well as just like Chris was talking about with our children. You know, we just long for them to come to us and have that heart-to-heart relationship with us. And that's what, to me, serving Jesus and living for him really is. He desires our company, which is wonderful, and he doesn't condemn us. And excuse me if this sounded like a sermon, but I just felt when Kim was speaking about so many people being condemned, that you know, if it's helpful to anybody,
Christians that do, you know, feel very, you know, they struggle with you know, maybe they've been taught different things, and like you say, some people have a very, you know, very hard kind of line on stuff. I mean, I in my work in primary school, you're talking about that voice that talks to you and says and lies to you and says you're rubbish or you're this or you're you know, or you're guilty or whatever. What I see in my work is many children that have that from a very, very young age. And they are, you know, they say, I'm stupid on this thing. Sometimes it's just because they're the youngest in the family and they've got older children that say, oh, I can do, brother and sister, oh, I can do that. Oh, you're stupid. And before you know it, before they hit sort of 5, 6, 7, they've got this voice in their head condemning themselves and their children. And I think devil works very strongly in the minds of young people around the family and this whole condemning, you know, and children can, you know, I look at children at seven and they feel that they're stupid. And you kind of think, you're 7 years old, how can you think that about yourself? You know, so I feel very much that my role in the school is to have those open arms and say, look, God loves you as you are. You have a father that loves you as you are. Because many of the children don't have that kind of stability in their lives, or they don't really believe they're lovable. And so that message of God loving everybody as they are in my line of work is really, really important for them to receive that love from God and to listen to God's loving acceptance of them as they are, rather than these little voices that they've had already installed in their brain saying, you're no good, you're no good, you're no good, you're useless, you're rubbish. And you see these children that are so angry with themselves and with other people because they feel bad about it. They feel condemned, and they're children. And you know, it's heartbreaking to witness that. But also, you know, your role in that situation is to affirm that they aren't. You know, actually, you are so loved by God, and you're so loved by me and the people around you. You know, trying to counteract that voice. But I think as adults we can recognise that voice, but as children, they can't reason with that, and it's poured into them.
I don't think as adults necessarily people can see it either.
No, that's true. I mean, I find myself, you know, you have that dialogue with yourself and I think, oh, you're stupid. And I catch myself. But it's only being aware of that dialogue, that voice that you have, that conversation you have with yourself, that you suddenly think, well, no, that's, you know, you wouldn't say that to somebody else. You wouldn't get up in the morning and say, oh, you're so stupid. Do you know what I mean? You wouldn't do that. And you wouldn't do it to somebody. So why are you doing it to yourself? And actually, it's the opposite of what God wants you to do. You know, he wants us to, you know, you wouldn't want someone waking up in the morning having a go at your child and telling them they're horrible every day. You know what I mean? You go, no, of course you're not. You're lovely, you know. And God doesn't want us to do that. And I think that's really important as Christians, that we help each other to recognise that voice and say, actually, that, you know, God has paid the price for your sin. That is dealt with, that is done. And you are forgiven and you're free from that. And but it is that renewal of the mind, because that, you know, I think that where that process that we were talking about does come in is that renewal of the mind, where we begin to accept what God has done for us and not listen to the voices of the past that have said...
renewal of mind, and also that we can attain the mind of Christ, as it were, that we can, our minds can be renewed to closeness to the similar mind that he had, isn't it?
Yeah, I think also as Christians, parents, grandparents, we do need to check our children, because little Amber, now she's three, and the other day she said, oh, I'm so stupid, Mama. And I said, you stupid. I said, you're the cleverest little girl ever. You know, I counteracted it instantly. And she said, am I? And I said, you are. I said, you can count up to 12. I said, you know all of your colours. And I was going through, I was affirming to her all of the things that she could do at that tender little age of three. And now, only 2 days ago, she said, nobody loves me. And I thought, she is bathed in love.
Who was telling her this stuff?
Well, this is it. I said, who has said nobody loves you? And I really couldn't get it out of her. But I'm wondering whether it's from preschool, because she goes to a preschool, you know, every afternoon. She just trots down the road, you know, and she's with a lot of little children. But the thing what we have to be aware of as parents, grandparents and Christians, again, is the fact that they might be so young, but they're mixing with so many children, and not all those children from healthy homes, environments. And it's most probably a little child has said, I don't like you, or nobody loves you. And they've most probably had it said. But we have to be so diligent, and we have to be so careful that we can affirm to our young ones. And it doesn't matter what their ages are, even in their 20s. I just think of our son, 20, 24. At times, I still affirm to him, no, you are a mighty man of valour. You belong to living God, you know, and I affirm all those things. But for little Amber, you know, I said, you are so loved, Amber. I said, we all love you so much. And from a little, she looked crushed with her words of, nobody loves me. It touched her. And I saw it touched her from within her spirit. But by the time I'd finished with her, she was cuddling and she's saying, "Oh, I love you all, I love you all," you know. And I thought, well, thank God, you know, you've changed your countenance. But for a three-year-old, and if the enemy can touch you, well, let's face it, he can even get you in the womb. So while you're in the world, you know, he's out there and he's certainly out there for our children. But we have to be diligent enough to think, what can I do to make sure that child feels of worth, to make that child grow healthily, and especially from a Bible point of view.
It's one of the Proverbs, I think, is, you know, train your children to walk in the Lord and they will continue.
Train up the way they should grow.
I wish I knew that. That's what I meant.
Well, that's what we're doing.
And, yeah, children's difficult.
That lovely bit of, you know, let us encourage one another. Let the basis of our relationships be to encourage one another, you know, and not, do you know what I mean?
It's like, a fine line, isn't it? Really I think it can be encouraged. I mean, I know that I've been disciplined, as it were, by all kinds of Christians saying, what are you doing? And actually, that was an encouragement, because what did it encourage me? It encouraged that people cared about me enough to go, Louis, you're being an idiot, what are you doing? And, you know, I think part of encouragement isn't false praise, isn't flattery, because the Bible specifically warns against flattery, and which I think a lot of Christians do, because they want to be everyone's friend, so they flatter people and say, oh, you're brilliant at that. Exactly. And so I think building each other up is about encouraging people and being honest with people. Honest encouragement is much better than false encouragement or flattery. But we are, you know, we're supposed to build people up. And sometimes that means knocking a few things down. But the primary aim should be to eventually, at some point during the process of your discussion, to be able to build up, to move on, to redirect.
Can I just throw in a verse here? Because I just noticed something in 1 Peter, talking about living for God. It just says here, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. And it's just made me think about love covering over, because we talk about sin being removed if it's, you know, if you repent and you're forgiven and that sin is removed. Can you just explain what that means when love can cover?
What's the precise verse?
Sorry, it's verse 8.
4:8.
Of 1 Peter
4.
4.
Mm-hmm. Right. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins, it says here. Mm. So it's an appeal for agape, the heart, deep heart love that comes from God through us to one another. The great question is, what sins is he talking about? Now, in the context here, he's talking about opposition to living a holy life and the end times, verse 7, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded, self-controlled, so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply. And this is all very practical stuff. And he's talking about it in the context of opposition, of having a very difficult time in society. And that's what the first letter of Peter is all about. Now, therefore, the question is, whose sins? What is this multitude of sins? And many believe, and I do myself, that he's talking about the sins of those who are hating us and wanting to do us down. So when we have love for one another in the fellowship, it helps us to stand against the hideous things that are being levelled at us. So the multitude of sins, taken that way, is the opposition. And our fellowship together strengthens us to stand against the enemy and against society when society turns against us. And that's relevant to today.
And also, with the Ten Commandments, love covers all of the Ten Commandments, doesn't it? In a sense, love. Yes, love sort of covers all of them. Mm-hmm. If you love people, you're not going to steal from them. You're not going to murder them. You're not going to do this. You're not going to do that. The love is like the master, isn't it? Really?
Yeah. It's the two commands, isn't it? Love the Lord your God. Yeah. Yeah. Love your neighbour as yourself. Mm-hmm. Those are the two. Yeah.
In the Amplified, Chris, it actually says that forgiveness and disregard the offences of others.
Wow.
It literally.
That's interesting.
The word cover that. Over, love covers over. The word is really smother.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
and it smothers it, you know.
Like with a fire.
And that's what happens.
Blankets over it, whatever it is.
But, of course, it begs the question, is that the quality of relationship that we have?
Mm.
That's the burning question, isn't it? What is church for us? Mm. Is it a religious thing that we go to meetings, what have you? Mm. Or is it really shared life? Yeah. How often, apart from these wonderful sessions around the table, you know, do we actually have opportunity to sit together and share together what's really going on, the deep problems we're facing, the deep challenges we have, the deep joys we have, how we're encouraged, how we can encourage one another? It doesn't happen very often. And that's part of the revision, I think, that needs to take place to our church life in these end times. Mm. We need to recover what we've lost.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And we've lost a lot.
Well, the next verse is actually offer hospitality to one another without grumbling.
You're in.
And so and cook food for each other.
Well, exactly.
And
without grumbling
without
too.
Grumbling. Wonderful.
Saffron Planet. Making sense of it all.
Saffron.